After something of an introduction last week, where we began with the story of Mary's meeting with her cousin Elizabeth, after she had become pregnant with Jesus, they have this beautiful interaction between the two of them, where Elizabeth hears the greeting of her cousin and the baby in her womb, John the Baptist, leapt at the sound of her voice. And filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth says that Mary is blessed among women and blessed is the fruit of her womb. And how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And in response now to everything that has happened to her, the appearance of the angel Gabriel to announce the miracle that is going to be done in her through the Holy Spirit, and the miraculous conception within her of baby Jesus, of her visit to Elizabeth, and of the declarations that have come to her from the Lord, first through the angel Gabriel, and now through the Holy Spirit in her cousin Elizabeth, Mary sings. At the very least, it's a poem, though it may very well be a song as well, where she praises God for what he's done for her, where she talks about his might and his strength, his ability to deliver, his ability to save, and she talks about his help, about how through ages past he has made these promises to his people, and now we are finally about to see them fulfilled. And so we're going to spend this morning and the next two Sunday mornings going through Mary's song. It's often called the Magnificat, and it's called that because of where Mary says in the first line, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That verb magnifies in the Latin is that word, is Magnificat. And so it's often called the Magnificat. And so we're going to take it in sort of three sections over the next three Sundays. And we're beginning this morning with the first part where Mary talks about this very thing that she's doing, magnifying the Lord. And what we're going to see is that her response of praise to God for everything that he's done for her and that he's about to do through her child is actually an invitation to us to respond the same way to the coming of Jesus Christ. So let's open up our Bibles, and we're going to read the entire song, but our focus this morning is going to be on verses 46 through 49, so ending where it says, "And holy is his name," but we're going to read the whole thing. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, the story of the arrival of Jesus Christ is one we have heard many times. Even if we are new to Christianity, to your gospel, we have likely heard at Christmas time through the years past, at least in passing, we have heard the story of the angels and Mary and Joseph and the baby. And so, Lord, it's such a familiar story, we run the risk of it becoming domesticated, of it becoming boring. Lord, fill us with the same wonder that we see inhabit Mary at the amazing, miraculous things that have happened and will happen to her. Thank you for this song, and we pray always when we are shown the beauty of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we respond saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Fill us with this kind of praise, this kind of worship and awe this morning, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So a lot has happened for Mary in the last few weeks, perhaps even a couple of months. She's visited by an angel, which is an unusual thing. And the angel tells her that she's going to become pregnant, only it's not going to happen the usual way. It's going to happen because of a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And that the child that will be conceived within her is going to be the promised heir in the line of David, the king that Israel has been waiting for, the Messiah, the Christ, that they have been looking forward to for generations, for hundreds of years, thousands even. And then once the miracle takes place, once Mary is with child, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is also with child, who is expecting John the Baptist. And the two ladies have this meeting, and I think we often gloss over this, but we note that even after this exchange between the two of them takes place, that Mary and her cousin, that Mary stays with her for about 3 months. That Elizabeth is looking after her, is taking care of her. They're taking care of each other, really. I mean, they're both expecting. That they spend this time together marveling over what has happened and is happening to each one of them. And what is incredible, I think, what ought to teach us as we come to this, our text for this morning, is Mary's response to all of this, to the angel, to Elizabeth, to everything that has happened to her. Her response to the angel's appearance, to her miraculous conception, to Elizabeth's pronouncement of blessing through the Holy Spirit is to magnify the Lord, that all of this happens to her. These, I imagine, very confusing, sometimes very scary things that have happened to her, and she is just filled with wonder and awe, and she can't help but worship God because of all of it. Now imagine that. Such wondrous and terrifying things have happened to Mary. Things that might, you know, if sometimes I try to put myself in Mary's shoes. And that's hard because she's a teenage girl, and there are very few people in this world that I identify with less than teenage girls. But nonetheless, sometimes not that it's bad if you're a teenage girl, just that I don't understand you at all, okay? But sometimes I try to put myself into her shoes, you know. and these miraculous things that have happened to her. Things that are completely out of the ordinary for everyone except Mary. Things that, if I'm really honest with myself, if I put myself in her place, things that might send me running for a book deal. I might find myself in the door at the closest Christian publisher, knowing that I'm going to get a book out there about all these amazing things that have happened to me, or might send me for a spot on the local news, or, you know, to start my own church and make lots of money off the people who are going to want to come and see the Blessed Virgin. Or maybe in my worst moments, just sort of passive-aggressively always reminding my friends of how much God has done through me. What a burden it is to bear the incredible weight of having this favored status with God. But Mary takes all of these things that have happened to her, and she responds with a song of worship. It's not self-aggrandizement. It's not look at how God has chosen me and not you. She takes all of these incredible things that have happened to her, and instead of thinking, how special must I be that God has done all of this for me, she thinks, how wonderful is God that he would do these things even for me. She's used by God in a 100% unique way. No one else in all of human history gets to claim to be the mother of God. Even the apostles, whom God used greatly, they share a common ministry. Mary experiences God's kindness in a way that no one else has. And she responds in worship. To make God's name great, that's what she means when she says she's going to magnify the Lord. She's going to ascribe to him all of the worship that he's due because of who he is, because of what he's doing, and to sing for joy at what he's done, at his salvation. That's her response, is to say, isn't God great? There ought to be something naturally humbling about worship. About coming and, I mean, whether we're doing it together on a Sunday or whether we're doing it privately in our own homes or on our own time. To come and sing to God about what he's done, to be reminded about how he sent his son, about how we are redeemed and delivered from our sin, how we are adopted into his family, called his sons and his daughters, promised eternal life, to hear and to be reminded of the miracle of the incarnation and of the virginal conception. It's easy, I think it's too easy, to be a Christian and to think about all of the good things that God has done for you. And to kind of let it go to your head. To start to think that, you know, God has done all of this for me because, I mean, I must be pretty special. And of course, God loves us and dignifies us by giving us his grace. But it's easy to begin to think that, I don't know, that God shows us love because we're better than everybody else. And that's the wrong kind of orientation. What we see here in Mary is that, I mean, she gets blessings that are completely unique to her, that none of us can claim as our own. And her response is to look to God and say, look how good he is. I have to worship. I mean, it's the only thing I can do is to turn around and worship God because of everything that he's done. So there ought to be something naturally humbling about worship, to remember everything that God has done for you and is doing for you. It reminds us of who is really in charge, at least it ought to. It reminds us of where the credit for the blessings of this life and the next belongs. And it's easy to forget that or to write it off as unimportant, but at Christmas time, when we are reminded of this amazing thing that God has done in Mary and in sending his son, the only response we ought to have, at least the first one, is worship. To magnify the Lord, to rejoice in God our Savior. Otherwise, we're kind of missing the point. Mary's response teaches us that worship is the first and rightful response to being reminded of everything that God has done. But look also at Mary's hope. Mary says why she magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Because he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. She says why she's worshiping God, and it's because from now on all generations will call her blessed. And because of the great things that God has done for her. But it's also because she knows incredible things are still to come. Here's one of the things I think is amazing about Mary's song here is that she's rejoicing now. She's praising God now. Jesus hasn't even been born yet. She still has months to go before he arrives. She has years to go until she begins to see his ministry taking shape, and even more years until she sees his death and his resurrection and realizes the full extent of what it is that he's come to do. She is still years, decades separated from all of that. And she's rejoicing right now. But she hasn't even begun to get the full picture about what it is that he's going to do. She knows that God has already done something amazing. She knows that this is going to change things forever. But she doesn't quite know how yet. She says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And again, this is something that very few people through all of world history get to say, right? I can say, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, but give it another 4 or 5 generations, even in my own family, and no one will remember me. Mary says, from now on, all generations call me blessed. She figures that she is involved in something huge, and will be talking about her and, more importantly, about her son forever. For generations and generations, people will be talking about this. Mary gets that her child changes everything. That everyone will remember her because of who her son is. Mary is contemplating God's blessing in this child and looking forward, knowing that he will change the whole world, that nothing will be the same after him. She rejoices now and looks forward, knowing that there is still so much more to come. Every year around this time, you know, the Christmas albums come back out, right? The songs get played on the radio. Department stores are playing them. You know, depending on when you think it's appropriate, you know, the Christmas CDs go on regular rotation. CDs, I'm aging myself. The Christmas music goes on rotation at your house, maybe the beginning of December, maybe like mid-October, depending on how excited you get. But one of the songs that's always sort of in rotation now, in the last number of years anyway, I think the song is about 15 years old now or something like that, maybe 20, is the song Mary, Did You Know? Right? A lot of you know that song. It's a really lovely song, asking the question, you know, Mary, as you looked into the face of your child, did you realize that you were looking into the face of God? Did you realize the child that you would deliver would one day deliver you? Did you recognize that the little baby you were holding is the great I Am, is God Himself? And you know, it seems she did. She did know. Angels talked to her and told her who her child would be. Elizabeth in the Holy Spirit declares that she is the mother of the Lord. And here she says that her son will be remembered by all generations to come. She knew. And yet she didn't know absolutely everything. She didn't know the full extent, exactly what it was going to look like for her son to come and save his people from their sins. She didn't know everything, so she believed. She praised God and she looked forward and hoped for what was still coming. And I know I mentioned this last week as well, but I'm going to say it again. This season is meant to remind us of the anticipation that the Israelites felt, waiting for this promised deliverer to finally show up. And because of that, as we sort of identify with their anticipation, it's meant to fill us with anticipation too, knowing that the child who came then is now a man in heaven, who's going to return. And we're supposed to look forward just like they did. As they look forward to his birth, we look forward to his return. And we get this reminder that we can believe now, we can praise God now for everything that he's already done, and yet still filled with so much hope, knowing that there is still so much to come. That their patience and anticipation, their hope, should teach us something about our waiting for his return in patience and in anticipation and in hope. Because it's easy to lose hope. That all of the things that God has promised that are still yet to come, are they really going to happen? I mean, we're 2,000 years on now from Jesus. If he were really returning, if all of that stuff was really going to happen, wouldn't he have come by now? And yet they, like us, waited for generations and generations for the promises to finally come. With patience and with hope. And we have the same privilege to know God's promises, to know what awaits us, to wait with hope. And see lastly Mary's focus. In her song, Mary's focus is on the amazing truth of God's kindness and grace to her. My soul magnifies the Lord. He has looked on my humble estate. He has done great things for me. Holy is his name. God is mighty. God is holy. God is the Savior. And he came down and he showed kindness to little old me. That's what she says in these first few opening verses. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. He chose me. He gave his son to me. He promised great things for me. He came down to visit me. And here, in this song, in Mary's response, is the true beauty, the true grace of Christmas. Now, God may have visited Mary for the miracle of Christ's conception and shown great kindness and grace to her in sending her the angel Gabriel and in having the Holy Spirit speak these words through Elizabeth to her. And she is amazed that God would come down and do all of this just for her and the things that he's done for her. But through her son, what Christmas reminds us of is that he came to visit not just Mary, he came to visit all of us. The mighty and holy God took on flesh, took on weakness, took on frailty, took on limits in order to come down and be one of us so that he could rescue us, so that he could deliver us. And Mary wonders at God coming to her. And we should wonder at the same thing in Jesus Christ. He came down and showed kindness to me. He chose me. He gave himself for me. He grew in his mother's womb and was born and knew a simple and humble life and learned to speak and to read and to obey and to love in order to rescue those of us who were at one time his enemies. He did those things for me, for us. And Mary shows us the way to respond. Magnify the Lord. Rejoice in God your Savior. For all generations know the blessing of God, because he who is mighty has done a great thing in sending us his Son. Let's pray. Father, we come to worship, to magnify you, to rejoice in our spirits because of who Jesus Christ is, because of why he came. Teach us the humble worship that comes from Mary. Thank you for her and for her beautiful faith. We pray that we would never lose this kind of wonder, this kind of awe, that you would come and visit us, that you would show your kindness to us, that you would send your Son to die for us. Thank you for Jesus. Hear our worship. Fill us with wonder. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.